Welcome to the Words of Life program. For many years, Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers have prayerfully sponsored this program in order to tell you and others about Jesus Christ. On this week's program, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will tell us about the Tree of Life that is discussed in Revelation chapter 21, the second part of verse 21 on through chapter 22, verse 2. With the great promises found in the entire book of Revelation, this is sure to be a blessing as we listen today. We now present singing about our Lord.
Jesus to Calvary did go, His love for mankind to show. What He did there brought hope from despair, and oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me.
Holy Father, our prayer today is in thanksgiving for Jesus and for the salvation that is found in Him. We praise You and thank You for Your love. Please use this radio program for Your glory and bless each of our listeners with healing, convictions, and peace that are needed. There are people throughout the world who are upholding Your teachings of Jesus. Protect them with their witness being effective for You. And please encourage each local congregation of believers as well. We thank You for listening to us, and we look forward for the time when we will see Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now talk about the Tree of Life.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. In our ongoing series on the Holy City, as described wonderfully in the 21st and 22nd chapters of the book of prophecy, the book of Revelation, we have in this lesson the aspect of the internal features of the holy city. The title for the lesson is The Tree of Life. And the text is from Revelation chapter 21, verse 21b through chapter 22, verse 2. Please listen to the Word of God. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Randy Alcorn, a Christian author, has written a very fine book simply entitled Heaven. Listen to an excerpt from his book. Quote, Australian Aborigines pictured heaven as a distant island beyond the western horizon. The early Finns of Finland thought heaven was a distant island in the faraway east. Mexicans, Peruvians, and Polynesians believed they went to the sun or the moon after death. Native Americans, Indians, believed that in the afterlife, their spirits would hunt the spirits of buffalo. An ancient Babylonian legend refers to a resting place of heroes and hints at a tree of life. In the pyramids of Egypt, the embalmed bodies had maps placed beside them as guides to the future world. The Romans believed that the righteous would picnic in the Elysian fields while their horses grazed nearby. Seneca, the Roman philosopher, said, "The day thou fearest as the last is the birthday of eternity." Although these depictions of the afterlife differ, the unifying testimony of the human heart throughout history is belief in life after death. Anthropological evidence suggests that every culture has a God-given, innate sense of the eternal, that this world is not all there is. End of quote. A fascinating afterlife is affirmed by Scripture. As we continue in this, our third of four installments in our series of the coming holy city of God for His own, today, tantalizing details are regarding to the interior aspect of the city of God. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 21b. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. The Apostle John had been given a vision of the holy city's exterior from a distance. Now he was privileged and fortunate for us, his readers and listeners today, to learn of some of the interior magnificent details. The main avenue of the city is of the highest quality of pure gold, even supernaturally transparent like glass. So even the great street will magnify the blazing light of God's glory. Some scholars believe the city was laid out as many eastern cities with one broad street. Others believe, since the entire city appeared as pure gold, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 18, that all the streets are of gold, so pure that they all shine transparently as glass. When King Solomon built the first temple on Mount Zion, it states in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 30, "He also covered the floors of both the inner and outer rooms of the temple with gold." Revelation chapter 21 and verses 22 through 23, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp." It's interesting that evidently John, as a Jew, straight away looked for the temple building of God and found none. The reason given by the Holy Spirit is there will be no need of a temple, for the Lord and the Lamb themselves will tabernacle, dwell with their people, therefore radiating their outshining glorious presence in their fullness as they fill the holy city with their majesty. According to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3, it says in part, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them." So there will be no need for God's people to go to a temple, cathedral, church, chapel, or any other house of worship with God in our midst. The story is told of a physician a generation ago who was attending to a close personal friend in his last hours. He was attending to him in his own house. The dying man asked, "Tell me, you are a believer. What will it be like after I die?" There was a moment of silence. Suddenly, there was a scratching at the bedroom door. The doctor turned to his friend and he said, "Did you hear that? It's my dog. He's been waiting patiently for me downstairs and has become impatient. He has never been in this room. He has no idea what it is like. He only knows one thing about it, and that is that I, his master, am here. That's all I need to know about the future. He is there." End quote. One day, but only in Christ, we shall see God. His angels and all believers who have gone home ahead of us. The new holy city, the new Jerusalem, the new earth will be radically different from the present cosmos. Today, the earth is totally dependent on the sun and the moon. They provide the cycles of light and darkness, of warmth, and the moon even causes the ocean tides, which, for example, mix the ocean's waters, helping maintain important balances in temperature and in the distribution of dissolved chemicals. However, in the new order of things, Earth, sun, and moon will be unnecessary. The sun will not be needed to provide light. And since there will be no seas, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, there will be no tides. Since there are also a lot of sea-loving folk among us, not to fret. Since there will also be no mourning or grieving in the new order, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Because we will not know, we won't remember that there used to be seas and tides. We will all fabulously enjoy our new eternal existence as God has prepared it for us. I remember many years ago in a Sunday school class, one of the boys said, "Will there be Chevy, Ford, or Dodge trucks in heaven?" Before I could answer, he said, "Well, if not, I don't want to go there." Well, that's just a young child. We won't remember these kinds of things that we cherish in this life, so they won't be missed. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 24. "The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it." Nations translates the original Greek word ethnos, which can also simply mean peoples, and is most frequently translated Gentiles. The context, of course, provides the best translation. In the eternal state, many scholars prefer the idea here of peoples. Therefore, not national identities such as American or Nigerian or Liberian or Ghanaian or Zimbabwean or Filipino. Probably, national identities will not be preserved into eternity, but instead that peoples of every tribe, tongue, and nation, both Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, will be united as God's people forever. In verses 25 and 26, it says, "On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it." This passage emphasizes, in spite of walls, this ideal city need not close its gates due to the darkness of nightfall, aiding any sort of enemy into the holy city. Enemies and evil are all of the old order of things. This will have completely and utterly passed away, as you can compare Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. That is, in perfect security and unity, all God's people will enjoy eternity together, as reinforced by the Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 22 and 23, which says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven." Notice, you have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. This alludes to the nations, or the peoples, who will be brought into it. That is, the New Jerusalem, the holy city, as according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 26. Then the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle John to write and emphasize, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, "Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." All of the new order, both spatially and morally, will be perfect and holy. All of the citizens thereof will only be those whose names are written in Jesus' Book of Life, sanctified by His blood through saving faith in Him as our God, as our Lord. Consider 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. "But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Eventually, in Christ, we will all be home where everything is right all the time." Then the angelic guide of God showed John even more spectacular sights of the interior aspect of the holy city. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, with no seas in the eternal state." According to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, there could be no hydraulic cycle, and therefore no rain to fill a river. However, this is not a man-made city, nor in today's natural realm. This is a city of which God is the architect and builder, and therefore has its supernatural aspects. Water of life is also a symbol of eternal life, as, for example, the words of Jesus in John chapter 4 and verse 14, "But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And also in the Gospel of John, chapter 7 and verse 38, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." The pure, as clear as crystal, evidently continuously flowing river indicates the presence of everlasting life from God to His people. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Dr. Robert H. Mounts, a scholar especially of the ancient 1st century A.D. Greek, writes these words, quote, "The crystal river is bordered on either side of the tree of life, which bears fruit continuously throughout the year and whose leaves bring healing to the nations. The exact placement of river, street, and trees is less than clear, but the specific geographical layout is of no particular importance in understanding the symbolism of the verse." End of quote. Suffice to say, the tree of life is the counterpart of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, and Genesis chapter 3 verses 22 through 24. This tree provides for those who are immortal. Perhaps 12 crops of fruit and yielding its fruit every month refers to the variety and the abundance therein. We should not take the leaves of the tree as for the healing of the nations, as meaning illness or injury in heaven, as this would contradict with Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 that says in part, "There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." The original Greek word, therapia, does not imply illness, but means more accurately, health-giving. We, in fact, in English, get our word therapeutic from the original Greek word therapia. So the leaves of the tree can be likened to supernatural vitamins, since vitamins are not to treat illness, but instead to promote health. Note the text does not actually state that the nations, the peoples, will eat the leaves, but it is implied. God's people will conceivably eat in heaven, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9, but in our glorified bodies, it will presumably be not out of necessity to eat, but out of enjoyment. I read about a woman diagnosed with a terminal illness. As she was getting her things in order, she contacted her minister regarding her funeral service. She told him the scriptures she wanted read. Then she added something rather odd. She said she'd like to have a fork in her right hand in the casket. She explained that in all of her years of church socials and potluck dinners, when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would invariably say, "Keep your fork." That's because her favorite part of the meal was coming, like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie. So, when people see me in that casket with a fork in my right hand and they ask, "What's with that fork?" I want you, preacher, to tell them that I said, "Keep your fork, because the best is yet to come." Of course, this keeping of a fork in our caskets will be unnecessary, because if and when we eat in heaven, forks will be provided, not plastic forks, but probably they will be of pure gold. Ecstasy and enjoyment galore is coming, but we must be in Christ Jesus. Have you received Him by obedient faith? Have you been baptized into Christ? Are you persevering in Christ?
We pray that you are already a follower of Jesus. If you are not, the first thing you need to do after learning about Jesus is to truly believe that he is Savior and Lord and the Son of God. The Bible teaches that people who believe in him need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. We suggest that you also find a good Bible-believing church to help you. If we can answer your questions, please write to us. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, write and ask for CD 1831. That's 1831. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. You can also listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want to by logging on to wordsofliferadio.com and selecting the broadcast that you want to hear. Our newsletter is also available online. On behalf of Words of Life, this is Wayne Hobbs thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.